The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So some of you know this history of IMC, but IMC began before I got involved. But when I started, there was a group of maybe 12, 15 people who came regularly on Monday nights. I was asked to kind of be the teacher for the group. And over the next few years, the group grew. And as it grew, at some point, and I was kind of a new teacher, I kind of didn't even know how to be a teacher, but I was learning on the job. But one of the things that I realized after a while is that in the role that I had as a teacher for a community, for individual people practicing, it was my role to be a little bit of a visionary, in the sense of to see, not only to meet people and help them see what is, but also to help them see what is possible. That it's possible to wake up, it's possible to develop loving kindness, it's possible to develop a mindfulness, it's possible to to follow a Buddhist path and grow in a certain kind of way. And since I had walked the path for some time, I could see that the potential that people had. I saw the potential that people have all kinds of potential that they can grow into. And so as people are sincerely practicing engaged, it was part of my role to have that vision of what's possible in people's growth, and then be concerned with setting up the situations where they could practice and develop those qualities, those capacities. So, for example, having a one-day sitting. You know, we didn't used to have one-day sittings. So I saw these people have been practicing for a while. They're ready to take a deeper plunge and go further in this practice and develop themselves and really do what the work that happens in a one-day sitting. I think these people now are ready to take the next step and do a retreat. So we started putting, you know, retreats up at on Skyline, three-day retreats. And so, there was all these ways I could see that my role was to kind of open doors for people. Say, here's a door. Here's a possibility for you that you don't know even know about that's possible for you, but you can do this. And so it's not just my role, but as IMC got bigger, it's also the role of the wider community, the people who caretake for this, to have some sense of how people can keep growing and developing, both as individuals and also as a community. And so we developed a bigger vision. And one of the big steps was having our own place. I knew that if we had our own home, that it would allow people to grow and develop in their spiritual life in a much richer and more full way than if they were just coming Monday nights and just having once a week contact. And that's proved true for many people. And at some point, one of the things that seemed like it would be really good to do is to have a retreat center because of the tremendous value of being on retreat. And we were offering retreats, and so other places offer retreats, but there's a need for more retreat centers. Now, we would like to put on more retreats. It's very expensive to rent facilities to put on retreats. And those facilities are not available as often as we would like. And so not only can't we do all the retreats we would like, but we don't have the space to develop the different kinds of retreats that we would like to develop and have. And there's many different kinds of retreats you can be on. And so then it became our vision that it'd be nice to have a retreat center. And it's fine to have a vision. And it was a surprise to me to discover that I was becoming a visionary. But I think it came with the job. It kind of like what the job kind of called forth, what was needed. And we talked about it a little bit here and there, and it was held kind of lightly. And then a number of little bit kind of unexpected steps occurred that led to a person offering us a really substantial donation. Actually, I guess I can tell you, right? I can tell them? So $2 million for the purpose of us purchasing the property to have a retreat center. And so now it got real. We thought. And we spent 5 years, just almost 5 years, it'll be 5 years in the spring, spending an inordinate amount of time looking at property. Susan Ezekiel, and then for the first year or so, and then Carol Collins spent, you know, she's looked at hundreds and hundreds of properties. She's taken us, Inez Friedman, who was a big part of this search process, and myself, to gone to look at many properties. But we get excited by a few of them and start pursuing some of them, and maybe two or three times we may be brought to the board and say, we found the place. And they'll drag all the board members up there to look at it. And then, like, one place we found out, the neighbor said, no way, we're going to have a Buddhist place next to our homes. And if the neighbor said, that's, you know, uh-oh. And then we find this beautiful place, and we thought, oh, this is the place. And then, oh, it's inside the Coastal Commission's authority. No way, the Coastal Commission does not allow us to do this. Or it's in a floodplain. And we can't do what we want to do in a floodplain because of whatever. And then the first place we kind of thought of buying, very first place, as we investigated, it looked like, I don't know what exactly, but it hadn't been built well. And it was kind of like sinking, and the water was seeping up in the floor from the ground, and we had enough wisdom to say, let's not do this. And but we looked at a lot of properties, and it dawned on us that it was extremely difficult, and that even though we had so much money, we raised a little bit more after that. So we had a little bit more than $2 million. But it looked like the amount of money wasn't enough for this area here, because prices are very high. And it's also the big challenge of building codes, zoning laws, neighbors, coastal commissions, a lot of different things that made it very hard. But we kept trying and kept trying, and I was beginning thinking maybe we should give up. We have all this money. Maybe we can have another vision for it. Do something else. And maybe some property will open up next door, like across the street. And we could buy that with that money and then have, expand our things, what we do here, because we are kind of getting kind of tight and confined here in this property. And then, this summer, last summer, beginning of the summer, the committee met, and we were talking about it, and the committee reminded me about a property that I had said no to last year, the year before. They said, it's a great property, and you should really go see it. We found the place. You should go see it. And they told me where it was, and I said, no way. Scotts Valley. Up over 17, Scotts, that's too far away. You know, it needs to be close enough. If I'm going to be part of a retreat center, it needs to be close enough that I could commute to it regularly. Otherwise, I can't, with raising a family, I can't be so involved in the retreat center. That was part of my limitation on the whole deal, right? But then they said, Gil, this place, still on the market, a year later. And I thought, well, what would I rather do? If we buy a place up closer, we're going to spend a lot of time having to build something. And building takes a lot of meetings. A lot of meetings. Talk about the doorknobs and, you know, and you know, then there's a whole process with the county, and it takes years. It's a really slow process to go through it, you know, to get the permits and, you know, just a lot. I said, what would I rather do? Go to endless hours of meetings to do this, or commute. So I said, well, at least I'll drive down and see how far it is. So I drove down and found out, to my surprise, it was 50 minutes, 5-0. I said, oh, that's doable. You know, it's a little bit further than I want to drive regularly, but, you know, given the alternative, I thought, let's go look at it. So we looked at it, and what it is, it's a nursing home. It's it has 20,000 square feet of floor space, which is a lot of floor space. And we were kind of thinking that the most we could ever hope to get is 10,000 and try to fit everything we want to do in 10,000 square feet, which would have been a challenge. And this is 20,000. It has, currently it has 19 bedrooms, and most of those bedrooms, or all those bedrooms, have their own bathrooms. So there's something like 23 bathrooms or something in the property. And those two things make it really easy for, much easier for us. And those big, 10 of those bedrooms are really big, or 12 of them are really big, and they can be divided in half easily. And then it has an undeveloped, the woman who owned the property was going to build a second floor. And so she got it all ready for it, so she could build the walls and put in the plumbing, but she never built the rooms up there. So it's this undeveloped, open floor. It's 6,000 square feet. And there, we have this plan now to put in 14 monastic cells. We've learned through our experience at Spirit Rock, and if you doubt the wisdom of this, you talk to Robert, who's sitting up there. He's the manager, the manager of the retreats at Spirit Rock. And we've learned from Spirit Rock that we do not want to have people in double rooms or triple rooms. Right, Robert?
Right.
So right. The amount of headache and processing and mediation and trying to figure out alternatives for people who are roommates. Generally, it works okay, but someone is sick, someone snores, someone this and that, you know, and it just makes life complicated, and we like simplicity. We're not in this business as a business. We're in it to be at ease. And so we don't want to set up a retreat center where people are going to be stressed, including the including the managers. We don't want, you know, Robert's offering to help, and, you know, he probably wouldn't if we had doubles. He manages. So we're going to just make these small rooms, single rooms, and a meditation hall is probably about the size of this room here, and also a walking meditation hall, and interview rooms and various things. We can all build all these things out. And it has a nice big dining room. It has a nice kitchen. It has a separate module, kind of home, mobile home, kind of module home. What is it called?
Modular
kind of building that has kind of a four-bedroom kind of home that works very well for caretakers or for teachers to live there or different things. And it's in semi-rural Scotts Valley. So there's a vineyard across the street. There's forests, and a beautiful canyon, and a river near just below. So it's a little bit, you know, kind of semi-rural. And it seems like it will work really well. In fact, we could right now, the way it is, put on retreats right away. But then Robert's not going to come because we would have to double and triple people up in rooms and spread people out. But it's, you know, it's a beautiful property, and the building kind of would work, more or less. So we thought it was great. And it was actually, I think, the property that, of all the hundreds of properties that Carol looked at and the dozens that many of us looked at, it was the one that excited us the most, the one we thought, this really works. The building works, and the property works. So we went to investigate it a little bit and looked into it and decided that we should make a bid on the property. And then we negotiated back and forth. And after that negotiation, we agreed on a price. And then once we kind of signed a contract, which is a six-month escrow, and which means that the only contract will only kind of, you know, only be validated if we can get a use permit. And because it doesn't make sense to us to buy a building to have a retreat center, and then the county says, you know, you can't do what you want to do. So that's part of the contingency. And the county, so far, we've been talking to the county, and they've been much more welcoming to us than anybody would have expected. They seem to like us. They like our use of it. So they kind of want to make it work for us, but, you know, they're not going to ignore their rules either. So we have to kind of make it all fit for them as well. But that was really, you know, that the fact the county is open to us is a big deal. And then we had a meeting with the neighbors, and to invite the neighbors over to come and meet us, because we wanted to know if they were receptive to us. And there were about six set of neighbors who came, and to my surprise, it was a love fest. In fact, before the meeting began, the woman who lives next door, somewhat elderly couple, had lived there for a long time, and she came to me and said, "I've lived here for 35 years, And I lived here before. All the stuff was built up. All the homes that are here, they're kind of spread out. It was all forest. And we used to walk around these woods. And I used to think, this would be the perfect place for a meditation center. And she was ready to put a gate in her fence between our property and hers so she could come over and meditate with us. So it was really great to feel their welcoming. And they also actually signed kind of letters right then and then that we can submit with our application for a use permit to show the neighbors were behind us. And the seller, we have a really good relationship with her. Very warm, supportive, it feels like. I mean, we still might have to negotiate some things, so we'll see how that survives. But it feels really good. And she seems to genuinely really like that. She built the place 25 years ago. She loves the place. It was her kind of pride and love to build it and took good care of it. And it seems that she really kind of is delighted that we're coming in and happy that her baby is going to be a retreat center like this. So there's a lot of, so it's going along, and we're submitting our plans in a few weeks to the county to see if we get use permit. We're doing inspections, see how all that works, and we might have to do some negotiation around the septic tank system. It seems like that turns out to be not as what we thought it was, and so that's going to require some, apparently some attention, but also more expense than we anticipated. So that is the situation, and it's the property is 2.8 acres, which is nice, but it's enough. I'd be very content with that. But the issue about 2.8 acres is that there's not a lot of place to go to kind of, if you need, sometimes people, I talked about people needing to get away from worldly life, like to go and retreat. Sometimes people on retreat need to get away from the retreat. they're going through a difficult time and they just need some space and fresh air. And so at Spirit Rock, it works well because people walk up into the Marin Hills up there. 2.8 acres is not a lot of space to walk to get away from everyone, I think. And so, also, there's no easy place to walk. You can walk out in the street, but it's not a good street to walk on. Those of you who know Skyline Boulevard, it'd be like, walking down Skyline Boulevard. You don't want retreatants walking down Skyline. It's rural, but you don't want people walking down there. So it's not really a good place like that. Now, coincidentally, next door, there's 40-acre forest preserve that has been kind of put aside by the people who kind of, it's put aside. So it's by law now, or by regulation or agreement with the county, nothing can ever be built on that. It's preserved as a timber preserve, so it's a natural place. It's a beautiful, beautiful big old trees, beautiful deep canyon, beautiful river that goes through. It's just a spectacular, spectacular property. It's not next door, right? It's for sale. So that would be great to have that, right? But we don't know if we have enough money. And because we don't know how much, we're basically going broke buying the place. And so now we need to, the big task coming, once we kind of get through this next month or so process of getting the use permit application in and the inspections done and all that, then those of us working on this whole project have to put together a fundraising campaign because we actually need more money. And if we don't get more money, then I think we're content. We'll set it up with being very careful with our finances because that's how IMC always has to do it, to be very careful not to overspend and get in financial trouble. But hopefully, if we don't get it, we don't raise enough money to do a lot of building quickly, I'm so happy with this project, so content, so inspired, that even if it doesn't get finished in my lifetime, I think that property is disappearing. This place, whole peninsula is growing and expanding and filling, all the empty space is being filled up. And to try in 50 years to create a Buddhist retreat center for this wider community will be probably, it was hard enough for us after 5 years. it'll be even harder in years to come. And so I'd be completely content just to pass this on property on to the next generation, let them figure out. But I think we have a lot of goodwill. I think that we have a lot of people who support us and believe in what we do, not only locally in our community, but also I think maybe across the country, partly because of the Audio Dharma. For years we've been offering these Dharma talks for free, and perhaps some of those people will be inspired. If enough of them do $10 or $20, then perhaps, you know, that adds up. So we think that the fundraising will work, and we might have to do the building, we have to do in stages, so in phases, as the money comes in, depending on what comes in. And then we suspect that forest preserve is not going to be sold out from under us. So we're a little bit kind of, you know, what's the expression in English? You know, a little bit, anyway, we're a little bit, you know, tentative about it, but, you know, a little bit worried, I guess. You know, if we don't buy it, then someone else will buy it. You'll lose the opportunity. But I think it's okay. So we're going to wait and see what happens, and maybe perhaps we can buy that. Having the timber preserve would not only be helpful as a kind of place for people to walk, it also allows for other things to happen. We can build meditation platforms. We can build it's okay to tent there. It's possible to build a barn there. And what that means, a barn translated in my mind to meditation huts. You know, something, maybe a tent cabin or something, or something that we can build, because it's a very, very simple kind of structure maybe on the property. And so that gives us opportunities to, in some ways, grow or expand or do something that would make it easier and feel less pressure at the 2.8 acres. We have a beautiful, wonderful, dedicated and capable people putting a lot of time into this effort. It wouldn't be possible without... It's a big job, this thing. I kind of was naive how big it is. And so it's kind of like almost a full-time job, a number of people who are really helping in different phases and aspects of this whole project. And one of the primary people is sitting here is Inez Friedman, and she is the managing director of this retreat center project. So she's really the point person. She's the person who's really shepherding it and guiding it and making a lot of decisions and making it all possible so that so it's possible, so it works. Inez did a fantastic job when we bought this building here 9 years ago. She was really the one who, her great capacity, who really set up the structures and so many of the systems we have here, and many of the reasons why we work so well, worked out so well here in this building, is because of all the effort and brilliance and dedication and love of Inez, what she's done for us. And now we're so lucky that she's going to do it again for us. and do it for in the retreat center. So I suspect this whole... I suspect it wouldn't have worked without Inez's involvement. And I don't know if I'd had the courage to take on this project without Inez, in the saddle, kind of directing the rest of us, including me. So if you have any questions, Inez is a great person to talk to about this whole project. And so we have a couple of minutes. You have any questions or concerns or anything you'd like to bring up? Or do you have anything you want to say, Inez?
I just wanted to... I just want to say that Catherine Byers, who was board president at IMC, and she was facilities director here, has offered to be the coordinator of our fundraising efforts. And so if you want to, if you have a whole lot of money to give, that's who you give it to. No. So I just wanted to say that. Thank you.
Do you want to find them for the website, Inez?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And we do have a website, insightretreatcenter.org, which you can either go to directly, or there's a link on the IMC website kind of near the bottom on the left. So, and we do have a place for donations, for volunteering, you know, and just to see a video of the place and pictures. So, and I think, are there some flyers still on the way out? Little half-page flyers to the left of the Donna box. So I think they're still there.
You'll see that it's not exactly the kind of architecture you'd expect from a Buddhist retreat center. But we're not stuck on concepts, are we? So you'll see. It's, yes?
How much does it cost, the 40 acres?
The 40 acres, we don't know what it costs because it's, you know, that's negotiated. But we're hoping that we can, it's somewhere in the range of $250,000 and $350,000. That's kind of the, you know, I think the range we can maybe negotiate within. The owner who owns it now paid $375,000 for it. So we think that the property values have come down, the price of timber has come down. So, and also, you know, it's only worth what people are willing to buy, right? Pay. So we don't know. And also, that's somehow the range.
Is it possible to have a lease or something like that that would allow us to obtain it over time?
We had no conversation like that with the owner. We haven't gotten that far. But that's certainly interesting to consider, at least with an option to buy into the future. He's one of the neighbors. He was a wonderful, seemed like a great man, great person to have as a neighbor, and he seemed very welcoming to us. And the timber preserve is also used by the property. The whole property is built on a little homeowners association. So I think there's like 6-7 homes in this little valley, and then there's the person who made subdivided the property to build the homes was the person who built the nursing home, and so the nursing home is part of that. So we become part of the association, and so we're all kind of in it together. And then the same group of homes is their own water district, and so they run their own water process. No questions? No protests? Yes. Oh, so the hopeful date when it's operational. So this is the timing that is kind of established, or the kind of anticipated timing. It could go faster, and probably wouldn't go slower. But we would, if everything goes according to the schedule we've set up with the owner, we would. It's a 6-month escrow, so we would take ownership in June. She has patients living there. So she'll need time to relocate her patients to other homes, and she needs 3 months for that, she says. So she'll stay there for 3 months after that. So that brings us to something like September, October. At that point, we're hoping to have gathered enough money that we could go in there and do a lot of renovation. And I mean, you know, as you probably know, it's much better to do cheaper to do all your renovation at once than it is to do it in phases. So depending on how fundraising occurs, we'll go in and and do a lot of work. How long it's going to take to do that work, I don't really know. We're working with upstairs is a shell, so it's not like starting from scratch. So and a lot of the pipes are there ready for things. And so being someone who doesn't know about this kind of trade, I suspect that we need about 4 months to do it. Especially if we can get some competent crew of people who can come in and really know that business. And that's my hope, but maybe it's longer. You know, we know a building often takes longer, right? But 4 months. So my hope is that by beginning of 2012, spring of 2012, we can start offering retreats. Straight back.
How many people will this accommodate per retreat?
Good question. So we're planning and have 40 retreatants. And that's what we've approached the county with, asking for a use permit for 40 people the place. And then we'll have some other rooms for staff. You know, there's somehow there'll be people cooking or staffing or caretaking or teachers. And so hopefully have rooms up for 45 people total. Yes, please. You have to see the little green light.
How do you envision operating the center? Similar to Spirit Rock, what would be the similarities and the differences?
There would be some big differences. We are, and one of the things that's exciting for me is that starting from scratch like this gives us an opportunity to rethink what it means to operate a retreat center, the structure of it, not only the organization, how it's organized, but also what retreats are. And I want to kind of start with a fresh slate. Like, we don't have to be beholden to the traditional ways that have developed here in America. They're beautiful, but I'd like to be able to have the options to kind of think fresh and new in ways. But the biggest way that's going to be different is that IMC is dedicated to offering everything for on Dana for free. So that's kind of a radical thing. And so that adds a certain degree of careful planning, and a lot of careful planning and care, and how do you finance in a responsible way a situation where you're giving something away for free like that. And we've done that now. We offer our retreats now. We offer 6 to 7 retreats a year, and we've been able to do that on a Dana basis quite well. It's a beautiful thing to do. I think that the Dharma, there's something very profound about how the Dharma is practiced and offered and received when it can be offered in that field of generosity and gratitude. And I think most of us involved aren't really interested in retreat center if we have to kind of do the regular cost thing, fee thing. But exactly the details of that's going to be worked out over the next 6 months, a year, so is that enough of an answer? I'm very much hoping that we create a. But my hoping is that how it's organized and how it's offered is a teaching in itself, so that people can look, and it's obvious they can look at us and see us, what we're doing, and be inspired by a certain teaching and practice, and that message will be meaningful for people who maybe even never even come to the place.
You described building the second story as having a number of monastic cells.
Well, yeah, that's just a code word of saying small.
So small rooms.
Yes.
I'm just curious if there'll be a monastic presence.
Sorry?
If there was plans to have.
There's no plans for that, no. I mean, they might come visit sometimes. We like the monks and nuns. And they're welcome to come and practice with us, and sometimes we might have them teach for us. And if we can get the forest preserve, that's really good, because I think some of the monks that we are connected to are forest monks. So they can be there in the forest.
I have another question. So the existing bedrooms might be divided into two, and would they be single occupancy too?
Yes. They're quite big. They're really big. And they would be single as well. We just put a wall down the middle, and they'd have shared. Those two would have then a shared bathroom. And so the downstairs, there are these 20 rooms downstairs that are paired. They each be their own room, but they share kind of an entryway to a little shared hallway, and then they share a bathroom, full bathroom. So then upstairs, there would be these 14 rooms that are kind of in a U shape around the perimeter of the part of the building. And then in the middle would be bathroom area where there would be toilets and showers that those 14 people would share.
That only adds up to 34.
Oh, yes. The nursing home was an add-on, a very large add-on to an existing house. And so the front of the building, it's kind of hard to tell it was a two-story building. The first floor of the two-story building is now the kitchen, storage, and dining room area. And the upstairs of that front building has six bedrooms.
Okay.
And then on the first floor, in addition to those 10, currently on the first floor, what's going to be 20, is going to be a manager's bedroom as well, probably right near the entryway. So the manager can be right near the entryway and take care of things. So that's up to 41. And then there's this modular that has four bedrooms, and that gives up to 45.
Good, thanks.
And there's a rec room with a little
table. Oh, no, so there's the first floor, and then there's this undeveloped second floor, which is about half the size of the first floor, kind of. And then there's a basement that's a rec room. So the building's kind of built on a hill, and so the first floor juts out over the hill into space. So there's a place where the rec room area is probably about the size of this room here, the whole thing with a maybe a little bit bigger. It has a two-door garage as well. So so that has its own entryway from the, because the lower part of the hill, right? So you understand what I'm trying to say? So it has this rec room. And so every retreat center should have a rec room. And the rec room has its own kitchen, its own bathroom, has a two-door garage with refrigerators and freezers.
Big TV.
And so that rec room is quite useful for us for a variety of things. Staff meeting, staff eating area, meeting room for other things, yoga rooms, a variety of things. It's great.
A couple questions. What is the parking situation? And do you see that this is a facility that that we could possibly rent out to certain groups?
Yes. So the parking is that... that's one of the issues we're working out with the county. It has a lot of parking, but it turns out it has a lot of parking now. I don't know what the count is. What's the count now?
21.
But the county has this rule that they don't count parking spaces by number of occupants, but rather parking spaces by number of bedrooms. And since we want to put in so many bedrooms, we have to have a lot of parking for them, more than we actually need, I think, because they want something like 1.2 parking spaces for every room. 1.1. So, you know, that's, we have people, we carpool, we cram the cars in because they don't use them for the retreat. So we're kind of working this out with the county, but we're probably going to have to put in more parking. And the place to put in more parking turns out to be above the leach field. And so it turns out that adds its own problems. So you know, it has some challenges, but I mean, it's all doable. There's enough land for it.
She had a part two to her question about renting it out.
It's possible. I mean, we would rather not be in business. Once you rent it out, you have to care for people in a professional way. And then we have to have staff who take care of them, you know. And so it's a little bit more involved. And also it puts us back in the commercial world. The commercial world can be a very beautiful and wise world, though sometimes it's not, occasionally. But it's beautiful. I don't want to, you know. But I think for what we're trying to do and the message we're trying to get across, I think it's much better if we could avoid being connected to that commercial world. If we can pull it off, without needing to do that, then that's great. If it turns out our experiment doesn't work, then that's an option. We can rent it out. Another option is that we could start off charging for retreats. It's not a sin to charge. It would be a great loss. And so we're really committed. And most of us involved are not interested in that charging thing. But if the experiment, you know, it's an amazing experiment. I mean, that we're trying to make this, you know, do this. We've managed to do it here. And so we believe we could do it again, but you know, we might have to fall. There's these other fallback options that might exist. So that's longer than I told you would be. So perhaps that's enough. And those of you who have more questions or would like to, you know, please come up and talk to Inez or myself or Catherine. And I hope that you all participate in one way or the other, and certainly I hope we'll have a place that you can come and join us for retreats.